Well, good evening, church. Good evening. Welcome back to Thomas Village Baptist Church on a beautiful Sunday afternoon. Seems like it's always beautiful on a Sunday afternoon, but it truly is beautiful outside today. And I want to welcome all of us out in Facebook land. And if you're out there in the parking lot listening on our radio, we welcome you too. And invite you to come in here whenever you can. So let's stand and sing a song to the Lord. We're going to sing number 309 if you've got a hymnal at your house. It's Lord, I'm Coming Home.
Got away from me, so I'm here with no notes. It's good to see you tonight. We'll be in the book of Ezekiel mainly in chapter 11, but we'll look back at chapter 10, and then I'll also have some, we'll jump over to the book of Luke a little bit as we look at the Mount of Olives, the temple complex, and the presence of God. And I think we'll see in the vision of Ezekiel the presence and power of God leave not just the temple, but Jerusalem, which is the city of God, Zion. But then in Christ Jesus, we'll see the presence and power of God come back into Jerusalem, and the fulfillment of what we see in Ezekiel, where they have the presence and power of God within the temple complex, but they don't notice it. They don't realize that they have him there, God himself in Christ Jesus. But it's good to see you tonight. It's good to be with you. It's been a good day around Thomas Village, but it's been a busy day, a going day. But the presence of God has been here, and we're thankful for that. And we just don't know what God may have done in someone's heart today. We've had visitors unexpected show up today. But if you're watching by Facebook or listening by the radio, we're thankful that you've made the effort to at least let us be with you for a little bit. We know you could be with anyone else and worshiping with them, but we're grateful that God's brought you here. And we do want to invite you to come be with us. We'll, if you don't want to shake your hand, we won't shake your hand, or we'll hug you around the neck, either, whatever you up for, okay? But do we have any words of praise or testimony tonight before we get into our prayer needs? Amen. I think she would have too. It was nothing elaborate, but it was spirit-filled, I believe. I believe the presence of God was here, and I believe the conviction of the Lord was here as well. It was thick. I mean, there's as we're talking about a cloud, you could sense his presence. Anyone else? Thank you, Sister Donna. Anyone else? Amen. Amen. There's a lot of time and effort and sacrifice that is put into one service, much less a whole week of services and what goes on around here. Thank you, Brother Johnny. Anyone else?
I need to thank the Lord for his protection. He's always right there to take care of him. We have a powerful line of ministry that we have. On our property yesterday,
the wind started firing. Is that what it was? Something fell on it? I tell you. Amen. And it was every county. I mean, you'd go on the thing and look what order it was in, and it was boom, 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 boom. You know. Thank you, Sister. Appreciate you, Sister Ernestine, and all that work today to make the memorial celebration for Sister Sally. I believe she was honored, and I believe Christ was honored in it. Anyone else? How about an answered prayer? Anybody got an answered prayer you want to lift up? Again, power. I tell you, I was not looking forward to washing in that sink downstairs. I mean, it's a big one, and it's big enough, but a tub is a whole lot better. And I had everything either on a hanger or in a bag, and I got to the door walking out, and last thing I do is I throw out 4 cups of cat food when I'm walking out, and I was on the second one, and the lights come on, and everything. And here's what's crazy. The power had been off for at least 13 hours, but I still had hot water. When I filled up that tub, it was still hot, and I was thinking, well, cold bath's better than no bath. And then I even got hot water, so he'd give you the desires of your heart. Anyone else? I didn't. Does anybody have the today's prayer list? I didn't get to bring mine up with me. Will you grab me one, please, sister? And if you're watching or listening, you could send us your prayer needs over Facebook, and we'll do our best to lift them up. I talked to Amy. They were about three to four hours from Mom and Daddy's, and Talmadge had been asleep, so he hadn't been sick, if nothing else. Thank you, Sister Michelle. All right, let's go through and get my pencil. Mary Gay, I think that's Alzheimer's. Altairs, is that her name? Is that her last name? Mary Gay Altairs. Danny Arnold, our Iwana, Brother Roy, it's good to see him tonight. The Jessica Baker family, our Vacation Bible School is fastly approaching. Eddie and Michelle Bishop, Brother Wayne, Brother Larry, Brother Jalen, and Scott Bledsoe. Danny Bowen, Sister Moselle Carter, how's she doing? Well, Bill Chester, the lost, amen, those that don't know Christ. Remember Thomas Village and also all the area churches as we, you know, it's kind of neat. We hear of the moving of the Holy Spirit, but at the same time, there's many that's shutting down and busting up. So it's just, there's a battle that's being waged. Do remember April the 28th here as we'll be having our Fan the Flames youth rally. Mason Counts, Sister Peggy DeBoard, Larry Dishner, David Duncan, Molly Edwards, Pat Fortner, Sister Sally's family, Evie Gunner, Terry Hall, Miss Head, Jane Hodgkins, the Shut-Ins, Elmer and Francis Jesse, Daryl Jeter, Sister Lottie Johnson, Kathy Kynes, Melanie Lester, the upcoming elections, and mentioning that, let's just pray for our nation as we see all the uproar, and then we look at other nations and we see all the I think France is just on fire. Everything over there looks like it's burning down. Our lost, Gene Messer, the van ministry, Denise Mosher, our leaders, Larry Pennington. Let's continue to pray for Brother Frank and Mr. Frank Pennington Sr. too. He had his surgery, you know, Wednesday, but come through it well and was putting up barbed wire yesterday. The Unspoken, Brother Jack in recovery through Christ. The Youth Revival, Brother Danny and Sister Sherry, Leonard and Sister Nancy, Wayne Robbins, Terry Robbins, Kay Russell, Rick Sawyers, Jim and Carol Shoup, Denny Sloan, Peggy Stanley, Danny Starnes, David Starnes, Dwight Stiles, Arville Susson. Well, I'll give God the praise for that. His mind seems to be clearing up. You know, it was just about a month ago that, you know, he gave up driving and all that, but they put him on some medication, and he's come a long way. Brother Dale Taylor, the praise team, those that are traveling, Jeanette Willis, Rocky Woods family, Jared Worley, and Eva Yule's family. Any other prayer needs? Also, I seen something on the news the other night about a new drug. They're calling it Trank, and it's literally eating people's skin. It's eating the meat. If they inject it, then it just follows a line, and it's like raw ground beef when you look at it. It's but they're still shooting it. It's just crazy. We will, sister. And that was Carl Paul. Anyone else? We will be. And as we mentioned, churches, pray for our area churches. Do pray for some that's dear to our heart. Mount Calvary, as Daddy's resigned, and they're in a pulpit search committee as we as we speak. Anyone else? All right. Brother Gary, would you lead us in a word of prayer over all these needs and thanksgiving, but also inviting the Spirit to lead us in our study tonight, okay? And the altar is open. Amen. All right, are you in Ezekiel chapter 11? All right, let's look in verse 22 and we'll read out through the rest of that chapter, okay? If your Bible has a caption or a title over this section, it's probably something like this: The Glory of God on the Mountain. The Glory of God on the Mountain. Now, you know that I'm not one that is a prophecy type guy. You've not heard me preach very much about prophetic scriptures. I may preach from them, but it's not the idea of trying to rightly clarify what the prophetic word is. But this one has just caught my attention. Look there at verse 22. Then did the cherubs lift up their wings and the wheels beside them, and the glory of God, of the God of Israel, was over them, was above, over them above. And the glory of the Lord went up from the midst of the city, and stood upon the mountain which is east of the city. Afterwards, the Spirit took me, Ezekiel, and brought me in a vision by the Spirit of God to the Chaldees, to them in the captivity. So the vision that I had seen went from me. Then I spake unto them of the captivity all the things that the Lord had shown me. Now, Ezekiel, from what I can tell, he is not in Jerusalem. He is in Babylon, basically. I mean, he has been carried away. You know, we know that Nebuchadnezzar's coming there, and he's moved them out. But what is happening here is God is giving him a vision of Jerusalem. He's, matter of fact, in the spiritual realm, he's been taken to Jerusalem. But notice, jump back to chapter 10, verse 1. And we're going to read four verses here. And this is basically kind of the beginning of this specific vision. He says, "Then I looked, and behold, in the firmament," or in the space that was above the head of the cherubs, "there appeared over them, as it were, a sapphire stone, as the appearance of a throne. And he spake unto the man clothed in linen, and said, Go in between the wheels, even under the cherub, and fill thine hand with coals of fire from between the cherubs, and scatter them over the city. And he went in my sight. Now the cherubs stood on the right side of the house," and the house here is the temple of God. This is the temple that Jesus entered into, that he cleaned out, as we talked about this morning. After he, on the Monday of the week of the Passion. On the right side of the house, when the man went in and the coals filled the inner court, the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub and stood above the threshold of the house, and the house was filled with the cloud, and the court was filled with the brightness of the Lord's glory, and the sound of the cherubs' wings was heard even to the outer court, and the voice of the God of God Almighty when he spake. And it came to pass, when he had commanded the man clothed in linen, saying, Take fire from between the wheels, from between the cherubs. Then he went in and stood between the wheels What you're going to see is, if you read on, he takes the coals and he slings the coals, and that's a picture of the word that's cleansing, the fire that's falling. But what we're seeing here is basically it's the portable throne of God is what you're seeing. You see it's the sapphire, and there's wheels there, and you've got escorts as the angels are there. But then the neat thing is that you have the man that is clothed in linen. And this is, to me, is a picture of the pre-incarnate Christ. You've got the glory of God. And when you look at this, you see the glory of God. If you look that word up in the Hebrew, the word is kabod, K-A-B-O-D. And what it means is the splendor, the righteousness, the majesty, the outward expression of God's awesomeness, basically. And what we see here is that the vision shows that the presence of God, the cloud of God. Now, let's think about the cloud. A cloud has been important in many areas in the Old Testament, right? If we go all the way back, when Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt into the wilderness, what were they guided by? A cloud. They had the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, remember? And it was God's presence with him. A matter of fact, it tells us that the cloud at one point, that the Egyptians got so close to them, but yet that the cloud settled down in between the Israelites and the Egyptians. The presence, the glory of God was between them and the Israelites and their enemy, and they were safe. Then, let's go on a little bit further. Do you remember when God spoke to Israel out of the cloud? They remember at the tabernacle, the cloud of God or God's glory stood at the door of the tabernacle. You remember that? So you see the idea of the cloud or the presence, the power, the glory of God is seen all through the Old Testament. Remember Solomon's temple on the day of dedication? It was filled with the cloud. The presence in the kabod. You ever heard of Shekinah glory? That's the idea here. And then if we move into the New Testament, doesn't it tell us that when Mary was pregnant with Jesus, she was overshadowed by the cloud, the presence of God? If you look at the ascension of Jesus over in Acts chapter 1, the clouds. And then in Luke, I can't remember the chapter, but in Luke and in Revelation, it says that when Jesus comes back, he'll come back in the clouds. So you see the idea of the presence of God, the power of God, the glory of God is often seen in the clouds. It's the thickness of God. Now, beginning here in verse 10, what you'll see is that the cloud, the chariot, the portable throne, and the man in linen is going to move all through the temple. It's going to start on one side. I think it says that it started on the right side of the house, there in verse 2. And then it moves there to the inner court, to the center place, and then it moves on, and then look over in chapter 11, verse 1. Moreover, the Spirit lifted me and brought me unto the, where? East gate. What gate was it that Jesus entered into this morning? See, the cloud, the glory of God, leaves out of the eastern gate, and it goes on up to the Mount of Olives. This morning, and this is what's neat, this is what caught my attention. When you read the scriptures, like we read out of the book of Mark this morning, Jesus in the book of Mark has never been seen really at Jerusalem except for when he was born and when he was 12 years old. Now he's moved in to chapter 11. And from that point on in the book of Mark, all of the rest of the whole chapter, I think it's from 11 to 16, a third of the whole book covers 1 week, basically. The majority of it's 1 week. The time he spends there in Jerusalem. Actually, if you write it down and you check out and you line all the passages up between all four Gospels, you only see about 7 or 8 visits to Jerusalem that Jesus has within his ministry. There's not often, and most of them are during that week. But I want you to hear something about what went down the last week of Jesus' life. Now, when Jesus would go to Jerusalem, it wasn't nothing for him to go to the Mount of Olives. That was a special place. He would go there. And it was above the eastern gate. You'd come down from it and into the eastern gate. Matter of fact, when it says there in chapter 11 of Ezekiel, it leaves by the eastern gate. It runs up on top of the Mount of Olives. It leaves the city, departs, and that's where it resides. That's where it went to. Now, Jesus, in the week of his crucifixion, the Passover, he visits the Mount of Olives at least 3 times. The first time is what we read this morning. Remember Bethpage and Bethany? That is the area of the Mount of Olives, right there. And so that's where he's been spending time. That's where he's at. That's kind of where, you remember, that's when he leaves the temple. He goes to the temple, as we read this morning, and he kind of looks around. And then when he leaves it, he goes back up to the Mount of Olives. And then the second time is where he delivers what's known as the Olivet Discourse. This is where he talks about when these things come to be. You remember when they talk about, I believe, he says, one, they ask about the temple. They say, when is the end of times? When will the temple be destroyed? And what will be the signs of your coming? You remember that there? It's over in Matthew chapter 24. Begins there. 3 basic questions. That's happening on the Mount of Olives. He's there teaching that. And do you know what the third one is? Remember when they go to the Garden of Gethsemane? That is the Mount of Olives. And so as we look and we see the prophecy is that God's presence is going to go into Jerusalem. It's the city of God. It's going to go into the temple. And there's going to be flapping of wings of angels. There's going to be everything to get their attention. That God himself is in the temple. That he's in Jerusalem. But if you read it, what you're going to see is that only Ezekiel sees it. Everybody else misses it. They don't pay attention to it. And what happens? They crucify him. And we see that fulfilled like we read this morning. Jesus is there. Jesus, they recognize him as the king, but they define him as they want him to be. They don't recognize him as the Messiah, the divine. They want him to be just an earthly king. And so when he goes into the temple and he's there, remember, there's a commotion that's there. Jesus cleans house. But they don't receive him. They don't accept him. And he leaves out. And that's as we get prepared to celebrate the Passover, as we get to celebrate the resurrection, could we be, as we talked about this morning, could it be that there's churches, maybe even us, where the glory has departed, the presence? Would we know if the hand and the power and the presence of God had departed from us? I'd say that there's many churches today that feel like everything's fine, everything's good, but yet Ichabod is wrote on the door. And you remember Ichabod. I won't go there tonight, but do you remember that? What that was? You remember Eli? They weren't worshiping in Jerusalem at this time. It was far back before all that went on. But he had 2 sons, Hophni and Phinehas, and they were ungodly. They slept around they were supposed to be priests, but they were sleeping around. They were, the sacrifices, the food, the meat that would be brought in, they were supposed to take just a specific portion, whatever stuck to the, when they stuck it in the sacrifice, whatever come back out, that was theirs. Well, they didn't care. They just ate it. And that was when they were taking care of the Ark of the Covenant. You remember? And they weren't putting their trust in God. They were putting their trust in tradition. And so they took the Ark of the Covenant to go fight the Philistines. Hophni and Phinehas taking it out there. And guess what happens? They get killed. And the Ark of the Covenant gets taken. But one of their, Hophni or either Phinehas, I can't remember which one, the wife is pregnant. And when news comes back from the battlefront that not only has Hophni and Phinehas been killed, but that the Ark of the Covenant has been taken, she goes into labor. And she has a son. And his son, she names him Ichabod. And that means that the glory is gone. The presence, the power, the Shekinah, the manifestation of his splendor has departed the nation, his people. And what you'll see is, you read here in chapters 10 and 11 of Ezekiel, you'll see that the presence of God, it doesn't want to leave the temple. It lingers. It goes from one spot to another spot to another spot. And then it gets to the threshold, right there on the line. And you know, outside, inside, it lingers. And the Jews believe that there's no way that God will remove his presence. There's no way that God will take away his power from his people. And God didn't want to take away his power from and his presence from his people. But he's a holy God. He's a righteous God. He always does what's right and just. And because they dishonored him, would not receive him, and rejected him, we see in the prophecy that that's what happens. And what does it say that Jesus did? He came to his own. What is it? John chapter 1. He came unto his own, but his own received him not. And after that three-year period, that three-year ministry, the gospel of Jesus Christ left Israel. Matter of fact, the Jewish believers were scattered. They were ran out. And the presence, the power, the glory of God. Remember, what do we see? We see the miracles in the book of Acts. We see the fall of miraculous signs and wonders as evidence of the true God has come to the Gentiles. I was talking with Brother John before service tonight, and he was listening to Ken Ham, Answers in Genesis, you know, the Ark up there in Ohio, and well, I think the church has been there in years past. And he said that up until the past few years, the American church has been like the church in Acts 3. We've known the Word. We've seen the power of God. We may not have been faithful in our service, but yet we've had even people that didn't go to church and wasn't raised in church, America was enough godly nation that you couldn't help but trip over the gospel. But now, in the past few years, we've quit being the church in Acts 3, and we've become the church in Acts 17. Remember that one? That's the superstitious one. That's the one that's got all the different gods, and then they have the one to the unknown God. And then we've become a pagan nation. Everything under the sun, except Christ Jesus. You can worship whatever, you can say whatever God you want to say, but when you bring that name into the conversation on a national level, that's like I said this morning, praise God, it's resurrection season. Because if there's one time a year, Christmas and this time, that we can shout it as loud as we want to, at least up to this point. But praise God, I do want to give God the glory and the thanks, because he is faithful to meet with us here at Thomas Village. And we may not like the way he meets with us sometimes, because it brings conviction. But thank God that he's a loving Father, and he brings his presence, his power, and his glory into us and upon us. So that's just something that's kindly been in my crawl this week. Any thoughts on the idea of the glory of God departing from his people? Is there something about the Passion Week that stands out to you? Something that is mindful of it. We are not doing the Passion Week like we usually do, but we are, God willing. Don't forget, next Sunday we'll be having sunrise service at 6:45 at Brother Otis and Sister Lynn's. We'll meet here at the church, the carpool, at 6:30 a.m. Then we'll be having cantata at 10 o'clock, and then at 11 o'clock we'll be having our celebration of the resurrection and our regular 6 o'clock service. But two things, we'll have the spot where you can take pictures with your family on the outside, and also, God willing, we're going to have the cross in here where we can pin our burdens to his cross, because there's just something powerful about doing that. There's something, Sean Garinetti, if you remember him, he posted a picture of it from years past this week on Facebook and how much it meant to him. So, any thoughts? Any other prayer needs or praise reports? All righty. Brother Ken, would you come and close us out in a word of prayer?
Father God, as we just humbly bow, it's great to be in your house amongst your people. And it's been a good week. It's been a good day. And thank you for showing up in church. And we feel your presence. We appreciate it. Just continue to go with us and lead and guide and direct us. And remember all those that are on the prayer list. And want to lift them up with the Grevy family and all those others that have passed away. But most of all, I want to thank you for sending your son Jesus to die for us, for our sins. And we just can't thank you enough. And we just ask you all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Also, if you do have your prayer list out, just put the name Bobby on it. If you were here this afternoon, you kindly understand what's going on. But Bobby from Knoxville, I think, is or Kentucky, one or the other. God bless you. We'll see y'all later. Yes, sir. Church Council.